98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
Our reaction to the top stories of the day every day. 4 o'clock right here on the Burns and Gambo show. Set a date for it. Set an alarm for it. It's what we do every day at 4 o'clock. We call it the 4 o'clock reset. Starting with the news that Gambo was able to find out earlier today, Devin Booker, that horrible ankle injury last night. Not all that severe, but with only three games left on the season, Devin Booker's 2018-19 campaign is over.
Mild sprain of the ankle. I wouldn't say shutting it down, just not enough time for him. They're going to run out of time for him to get healthy and play. So he will not play in any of the three remaining games because there's just not enough time for him to get healthy with an ankle sprain.
It was a nasty looking injury. There's no doubt. I saw a still photo of it on AZ Central's Twitter account today of the actual foot bent at like a 90 degree angle from the leg itself. How it was only a mild ankle sprain is beyond me because it just looked horrible. But with three games left in the season, there's no reason. You also believe that T.J. Warren is done with three games to go as well.
He's going to continue to list him as day-to-day, but he's not going to play. Highly unlikely that he is going to play with three games remaining. Continue to list him day-to-day with his ankle injury, but yeah, I'm pretty sure he's done.
He's been ruled out for Friday's game against the Pelicans. DeAndre Ayton has already been ruled out for Friday's game against the Pelicans. Three games left, one at home and then two on the road at Houston on Sunday, at Dallas on Tuesday, and then the season is over for the Phoenix Suns. By the way, with last night's loss to the Jazz, they also clinched
an 86% chance to not have Zion Williamson.
That indeed. They clinched one of the three worst records in the NBA, which gives them a 14% chance of getting the number one pick and an 86% chance of not getting the number one
pick. It's
like when
I go to the store and then, you know, to Fry's, like, you saved $28. Yeah, but how much did I spend? $220? Yeah, but I saved $28. It's like you have an 86% chance of not getting Zion.
The big night for the Coyotes tonight. Their playoff hopes hanging by
a thread
as they're in Vegas. Colorado is hosting Winnipeg.
Four things have to happen. If any of those four don't, I mean, four things have to happen. Coyotes have to win both, and Colorado has to lose both. I mean, there is no if, ands, or Colorado has to lose both in regulation. Can't lose in overtime, can't lose in a shootout. Winnipeg tonight is going to be without one of their major energy guys, Brandon Tanev, who has 15 goals on the season. He has a hand injury. Suffered it against Minnesota on Tuesday night. He's not going to play. Winnipeg is reeling. They had a 20-minute closed-door meeting to try to get themselves back on track because they are playing awful hockey right now. So a team that has a lot to play for goes into Colorado tonight against a team that has a lot to play for. We'll see where the chips fall.
The Jake Lamb injury, we saw it yesterday with our own eyes as he was rounding the base from first to second, came up very lame with a quad injury. You believe he is going to end up on the injured list when it's all said and done?
No announcements today. They've got an off day, so tomorrow there'll be an announcement. My expectations are that Jake Lamb will go to the disabled list, and they'll bring up Ildemaro Vargas to take his place. But I am expecting Jake Lamb to be put on the DL. It won't happen today because today is an off day. They'll make the move tomorrow.
The home opener for the Diamondbacks tomorrow. The Boston Red Sox lost again today, 7-3 to the Oakland A's. I believe the Red Sox are now 2-7 to start the year.
I think they should have a fire sale. I mean, so what could they get for Mookie Betts? What could they get for Chris Sale? I mean, you know, what could they get for some of these guys?
Yeah,
I mean, you know, Benintendi. Let's have a fire sale for the Red Sox right now. That team's terrible.
Break them up. They are absolutely awful right now. They're in for the Diamondbacks home opener tomorrow afternoon. We'll be down there at the ballpark. Nick Bosa and Quinnen Williams both in for their visit with the Arizona Cardinals today. It had been reported last week that Bosa's was going to be a two-day thing, that he was going to come in today and visit tomorrow. But according to reports, they are both in today with the Cardinals.
And listen, I think that each of those guys is a possibility, but more than likely, I think the best chance to get one of those guys is Quinnen Williams by trading down with Oakland at number four. If you said, what's the best scenario to get one? Bosa at number one, but I think they would take Murray over Bosa. Or trade, which I still think is a possibility, down to four, and maybe Quinnen Williams falls to you at four.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Flush that out in a little bit more detail here in a moment. But our top story of the day on the Burns and Gambo show kind of comes from a report yesterday from Ian Rappaport in which he suggested, and we talked a lot about this yesterday, that the Arizona Cardinals could just draft Kyler Murray and keep Josh Rosen.
They could, in fact, keep both quarterbacks until they decide not to. They are not going to give Josh Rosen away. And when they've compared Rosen to the other quarterbacks in this draft besides Kyler Murray, they think Rosen's better anyway. This is a guy they really, really like. So it is going to take a very, very good offer for them to trade Rosen if that is the direction they decide to go in, which, of course, they haven't decided
now,
yet.
Now, obviously, this information is being pumped out into the marketplace by somebody because today everybody started following suit. Mike Florio was talking about it on Pro Football Talk Live. Mike Sando was on Bickley and Murata today, and he mentioned, hey, you know what? Just keep both. The second story on Pardon the Interruption was speculation between Wilbon and Kornheiser that the Cardinals could just keep both guys. Suddenly,
it's a threat.
The notion has become a thing.
It's
a big talking point.
It's a threat. It's a threat to get ample value out of Josh Rosen. Don't give me what I want. We'll just keep him. We'll just keep him. Here's what I know. Okay, they're not shopping him at this point. They're not going to give him away. So if a team does, if there's four offers on the table and all of them are third round picks, they'll hold on to them. And they'll try to pull a Sam Bradford when they traded Bradford for a first and a third when Bridgewater got hurt. So if everybody's offer is a third round pick. Now, I will tell you that at least four teams are interested in Josh Rosen, that have expressed interest in Josh Rosen. At least four have expressed interest in Josh Rosen. Now, from the Cardinals' perspective, yeah, you don't want to give him away. You don't want to give him away for nothing. You don't want to give him away for just whatever the best offer is. You want to extract value out of him. He's going to be he's under a great contract, 3 years, at about a little bit over $6 million. And a lot of people, most experts, think he's better than any quarterback in this draft. And you could even make the argument, take Kyler Murray out of it. He's better than Haskins. He's better than Locke. He's better than Jones. He's better than those guys. So if there's teams that are going to spend a first-round pick on Haskins or Locke or Jones, why wouldn't you spend a first-round pick on Rosen, who's going to come in a lot cheaper and with a year of experience under his belt and a lot cheaper? So I think it's more of a threat than anything else. Don't come with me. Don't come at me with a weak offer. If you're going to talk to us about Josh Rosen, if we're going to go that route, if they decide to go that route, you better bring an offer to the table that's worthy of us making the pick, because we're not going to take a third round. So I think it's basically a threat to the teams out there. Don't try to offer us garbage.
Come to the table strong. Okay, don't come to the table with your weak-ass stuff. Get that out of here.
I didn't use that this time. No, I purposely didn't say that because you said I said it like three times.
It was like four times in the first hour of the show. I mean, you just kept going over and over that. Look, I listening to you talk, and I swear to God, all I could think of was, and we've referenced this a million times, that scene in Footloose where they're playing chicken on the tractors.
That's one of my favorite
locals are there on the tractor, right? And Kevin Bacon's on the other side, and he's on the tractor, and I'm holding out for a hero is playing, and Kevin Bacon wants to jump, but his darn shoelaces are tangled up around the pedals, and he can't jump off. He wants to jump.
One of the best movie scenes ever.
And so these two tractors are heading towards each other.
Game of chicken.
Waiting to see which one swerves off the road, which one jumps off, and even the girlfriend, jump, jump. Jump, city boy, jump! And he won't do it, right?
No, he wanted to.
And he wanted to.
But his shoelace was tied, caught.
I can't imagine the Cardinals want to go in a training camp with both of these guys on the roster. I can't. So this, to me, strikes me as a jump. Jump. No, you jump. No, you jump. No, you jump. Like the
just
line,
one team to offer a first round pick.
Like the line from the Hunt for Red October, man, the hardest part about playing chicken is knowing when to flinch. Who's going to flinch? Who's going to flinch first? These teams and the offers they're making for Josh Rosen, if he's even available, or the Cardinals, who would seem to be insisting, hey, we'll just keep him. Don't make the kind of offer we like.
Right.
Fine, we'll just keep him. Someone's going to flinch.
They don't have an intent to keep him. I mean, they don't want to keep him. Right. If they're going to go that route, they want to jump. They want to get rid of him.
They want to jump off the tractor.
But they want to make sure that they're not giving. So when the thought is they're not going to give him away for nothing, they'll wait. They'll wait until something happens and trade him. It's basically a message to all these other teams that if you're going to call about Josh Rosen, don't go trying to get it. We're not groveling to pot of here for 50 cents on the dollar. You better make a good offer. By the way, was that the Bonnie Tyler version or was that the Dave Burns version of the of Holding Out for Hero? Was the Bonnie Tyler version?
I didn't sell
okay.
it.
Holding on to a hero till the end of the
yeah, line. I like this version better.
And he's got to be strong, and he's got to be something, and he's got to be fresh.
Yeah, go Burnsy!
I'm listening back to that.
I need a hero.
Yeah!
And I just realized I forgot the words in the middle there. He's got to be a something, I think, is what I said. So I had even forgotten the
words. You know, it just sounded so good.
I was in my happy spot. There's no doubt about it. The Arizona Cardinals on the clock with the number one overall pick in this year's draft. You could be there. Text the word clock to 620-620. Your chance to win a trip to Nashville for the Cardinals on the clock ultimate draft flyaway experience courtesy of Cherish all natural 100% cherry juice. While most of the focus is on Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa is visiting today with the Cardinals, but his time in Arizona won't include one activity. Should it? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.
Oh yeah.
Strong and he's got to be and he's got to be fresh.
Yeah, go Burnsy.
I need a hero.
Murray this, Josh Rosen that. Oh, by the way, the two players that many, many people identify as the very best talent available in this year's NFL draft just happen to be here today visiting with the Arizona Cardinals.
Right. Wonder what's going through their minds.
They're driving around listening to us. They're probably thinking, God, does anybody ever talk about anything other than Kyler Murray and Josh Rosen around here?
What probably thinking, why are we here?
Why are we even here? I mean, everyone's just talking about these quarterbacks, for goodness sakes. What are we doing here? But they are here because the Arizona Cardinals are, as you would expect, as you would hope, doing their complete due diligence on this. Nick Bosa could very well be the number one pick in this draft by the Arizona Cardinals. Wouldn't shock anybody at all. And Quinnen Williams, I think it'd be a surprise. It'd be a big surprise if he were number one, but there's a scenario out there. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if he ends up a member of the Arizona Cardinals.
Sure, they trade with the Raiders. Sure, then they might be able to get him at four. Bosa is probably liked by the Cardinals more than Quinnen Williams. I do believe that. Bosa is avoiding injury risk with no private workouts, so there are no private workouts for Nick Bosa, who's had an ACL injury and a sports hernia injury. So he is not going through any private workouts, but he is meeting with teams. We know he met with the Giants and his brothers in the Game of Thrones season finale, one of those things, and it was a premiere, and he was out there for that. Listen, Bosa's a great talent, and I know the 49ers just sitting there waiting and just hoping that they get him. They would love to get him. And then we'll watch Nick Bosa probably wreak havoc on the division for a lot of years. Now, if you get a player like Kyler Murray, you can live with that. But I just don't see a scenario in which Bosa is not either the first or second pick. Because if a quarterback does go number one, if it is Murray to the Cardinals or to anybody else, I really can't imagine the 49ers passing on Bosa. They want a pass rusher really bad. I mean, that seems to, like, if I was doing a mock, that would be my one lock. Mm-hmm. That would be my lock, is that the 49ers take Bosa. Be very surprised if they don't. Now, that's possible, sure. But I'd be very surprised if they didn't.
No, I think that'd be a good lock. My lock would be that the Jets are trading out of three for somebody looking to move up to take Dwayne Haskins. I don't know who that is, but I think the Jets will definitely trade out. But I think you're onto something when it comes to that lock. He's not gonna fall that far. The idea of him not doing any of these private workouts, that's something that Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk talked about on Pro Football Talk Live.
If you're secure in your draft position, the last thing you want to do is go out there and run around some more and risk tearing something, straining something, popping something, breaking something. Yep. Right as you're on the cusp of finally getting your financial reward.
And Chris Sims, who's kind of the co-host there on Pro Football Talk Live, chimed in with this.
I think all people look at Nick Bosa, he gets the benefit of the doubt because his dad played in the NFL. His brother, of course, is a star in the NFL. And I think they look at Nick Bosa and go, he's pretty old school himself. I don't think there's any questions about his work ethic or how much he loves football. You know, I think all you got to do is talk to some people at Ohio State, talk to him, see what kind of shape he's in, look at him, the specimen he is in the spandex and things, and go, well, he's not a lazy type that's sitting on the couch all day. He seems pretty type A obsessive to me, and I think he gets away with it because of those aspects as well.
Brother was the third pick in the draft. His brother's a stud. All the numbers, when you compare them, the length and the weight and the height and the 40-yard dash and the vertical jump and the broad jump and the three-cone drill and the bench press and the shuttle, it's all the same. I mean, they're the same player. Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, the brothers, very, very comparable when you put all those numbers together. It looks like the same player. And Joey was the third pick overall in the draft.
Yeah, according to Pro Football Talk, I guess Christian McCaffrey a couple years ago didn't do private workouts. I mean, because it kind of falls in line with the same sort of thinking. It's not going to affect my draft status one bit whether I do a private workout for you or not. Not at all. You know who I am. You've got my tape. You saw what I did at the combine. That's more than enough. I'll meet with you. I'll talk with you. I'll draw up stuff on the whiteboard if you want, but you don't need to see me work out. You know what I can do physically, and I'm not going to risk the injury.
You know, the one position that really rookies can come in and kind of dominate right away is if you're just a dominant pass rusher.
Sure.
I mean, Bradley Chubb had 12 sacks as a rookie last year. Bradley Chubb, rookie, just go get the quarterback. Like, that's, you know, you'll learn all the other stuff, but, you know, Bradley Chubb had 12. So he could come in and pay immediate dividends to a team. Nick Bosa, if he comes in right away and plays, I mean, he has the ability to be a double-digit sack guy right off the bat. So if the 49ers, I think the 49ers will get him if the Cardinals go in any other direction, which is trading the pick or taking a quarterback. I think the 49ers just grab Bosa.
It's funny, I was tooling around the internet today looking for stuff to see what we were going to talk about today. I came across this, and it's kind of a fan blog website, but it's also from FanSided, and it's a FanSided website for the LA Rams, right?
Yeah.
Some guy wrote a story, three players the Rams should fear the Cardinals selecting number one overall.
Was Bosa one of them?
Bosa was one of
them.
Kyler Murray was one of them. Josh Allen, the edge rusher from Kentucky, was the third.
Okay, well, they're going to, I mean, they...
And I know they're not there. Well, I mean, I guess they could.
Unless they trade down, like further down with a Washington or somebody.
Well, or unless they get down to four and Murray goes one, Bosa goes two, and Williams goes three.
Well, then you get Allen.
Then you get John. So
who's
on that list? I mean, that's the scenario now. I still think the Jets are going to move out of three and that a quarterback is going to go number three. Could be wrong. It's just a guess. But that's kind of my, I really believe this is going to happen. If it doesn't happen, then if the Cardinals make that trade, Josh Allen could very well be a member of the Cards.
Are you surprised at how little talk there is about any other quarterback in this draft? Haskins, Locke, Jones, nothing. I mean, it's almost like that these guys just suck. There's no fanfare. There's no talk.
Well, okay.
There's nothing with these kids.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
I bet if we were in a city, if we were doing a show in a city that was going to be choosing among those quarterbacks, there'd be a lot of fanfare about Haskins. We're in Arizona. We're in Phoenix, Arizona, where we have the number one pick, and Kyler Murray is a perfect marriage for the brand new head coach. Of course we're not going to talk about any other quarterback. We aren't going to, you and I, in this market. But don't you think if we're in Denver, we're talking a lot about Dwayne Haskins, Drew Locke, Daniel Jones? Or if we're in Washington, or if we're in Miami, or if we're
I don't know if you're that, but if you're a fan base,
because you have to.
Are you that excited about those guys?
Well, because
nobody's pumping them up like these guys are going to be franchise quarterbacks.
Well, that's because we're not paying attention to it. We're so focused on Kyler Murray here, we're not paying attention to what anybody else is saying about those other quarterbacks because we don't care.
What we're hearing is that Josh Rosen is better than all of them.
We don't care
how good those other guys are.
I mean, but it doesn't matter to us. It's irrelevant.
So the guy that was the fourth quarterback taken in last year's draft is better than all of these guys. Yeah, I'm excited if I'm getting one of those guys. No, I'm not.
Some people think that. Not everybody does. That's not a universal belief. Not everybody believes that Josh Rosen is better than Dwayne Haskins.
You were just telling me, I think you had a story today about how
it was one guy,
NFL executive.
One anonymous NFL head coach
said Rosen's better than all of them.
That's one guy. There's 32 coaches out there.
What if that's the general feeling out there?
I'm just saying that if we were in New York right now, I guarantee you they're talking about Dwayne Haskins. Guaranteed. Because they're probably going to get him.
I think they're talking more about Rosen. They'd rather have Rosen than Haskins.
If you're in Denver, you're talking about Drew Locke.
Okay, because I got a group chat with a bunch of New Yorkers.
I'll give you that. I'll give you
They would rather have Rosen
more about Rosen than Haskins. I'll give you that. Yeah. But I think in other markets where you know you're not going to get Kyler Murray, yeah, you're talking about those other guys because you're probably going to get one of those
guys.
The Josh Rosen trade rumors continue to surround the Cardinals. What are the interested teams willing to give up for the quarterback is something we'll talk about next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Over the last 2 days, 3 days, ever since the Chris Mortensen tweet from ESPN, suddenly there's been a lot of focus on this idea of Washington as a potential, and boldface that potential landing spot for Josh Rosen if the Cardinals decide to make a trade there. So we thought we'd go to the nation's capital and check in with John Keim. He is the NFL Nation ESPN reporter covering the Redskins. And I feel like I always have to say this because I read John's stuff all the time. No relation, obviously, to Steve Keim, but he joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. I'm sure you probably get that a lot, don't you, John?
I get that every once in a while. I'm sure I wonder if he gets it, and it must drive him nuts. Because, like, I don't want to be related to a reporter.
A media guy,
Yeah, exactly. Now, I will say, one of the highlights of my time is, I think, Doug Farrar, who, when he was working for, like, Yahoo, referred to Arizona general manager John Keim. So that was a career moment for me.
So you were running the show for a day. You were in charge of the operation, at least in the mind of Doug, when it comes to...
And that would probably explain some problems out there.
Yeah. It's all your fault, John.
I don't know that you'd want to be the GM right now with the decision they have facing them. I mean, there is some opportunities to lose here if you make the wrong decision. If you trade Rosen and he ends up being really good and Murray doesn't, you lose. If you keep Rosen and you don't draft Murray and Murray ends up being really good, you lose. If you don't take Bosa and he ends up being a 15-16 sack guy, you could there's a lot of chances to lose if you're the GM here.
Absolutely. You know, and it's funny because a lot of those choices are all good choices. So, like, even, you know, you could have a situation where one of those guys works out the way, whatever way Arizona goes, and it could work out okay, and the other guy could just go to a better situation and flourish more. I mean, it just, so it's like it could be a, you know, a win-win thing, but yeah, I mean, it is a I don't want to say perilous situation, because you have a choice of potentially three really good choices, because you could go obviously stick with Rosen and draft Bosa, and now you have a quarterback and a defensive end, or you go with Murray, who is the one guy that when you talk to people is the one quarterback who really is ready to come in right now and help you and have a dynamic a more dynamic offense. So, I mean, it's a really interesting situation they're in.
John Keim, ESPN NFL Nation reporter. He covers the Washington Redskins for ESPN. He's our guest here on the Burns and Gambo show. Have you heard anything, or do you have a belief that the Washington Redskins might have interest in Josh Rosen to be their quarterback of the future?
Oh, I have always believed that there would be interest. And, like, so there's really nothing new for me that's coming out or being discussed when it comes to them and any interest in Rosen, because, I mean, it's really – they have been looking at quarterbacks ever since Alex Smith went down.
Sure.
I mean, you know, and certainly once you get to the offseason, it's really intensified. Whether it was looking in the draft or, you know, then going out and getting Case Keenum, but that never was going to end their pursuit because, I mean, he's not a guy that you can say, well, for the next 5 years, you got Case Keenum, you're all set. You don't, nobody can say that. So, and he's not even, nobody is signed through next year, or neither McCoy or Case Keenum. So they need a quarterback. Josh Rosen is a guy that I know they like coming out of the draft. And I know he would still have interest for them. I don't know, like, as of a week or so ago, it had not gotten to the level where the coaches were, like, scouring over his tape from his rookie year. But I know that there would be interest.
Well, let's cut to the chase, because I know there's at least four teams interested in Rosen if the Cardinals go that route. And the Cardinals are saying that they, you know, they could keep both quarterbacks for the simple reason that if somebody wants to try to offer them a third round pick, they're simply not going to take it. They're going to want a first rounder. Do you think Washington, if they like Rosen enough, would give up the 15th overall pick in the draft for him?
I think that's really hard to say right now, because it all depends on who else is involved. And you know, is New England involved? And are the Giants involved? Are they giving up their 17th pick to maybe get him? You know, or would the Redskins, you know, so the only way the Redskins can really top that is you give up your 15th. So I think it just depends. I've talked to a lot of people about this. And, like, most people will say that they don't want to give up a first but they certainly don't think a third would get it done. And I actually had talked to Redskins former general manager Scott McLuhan yesterday on a little podcast that I have, and his thing was he thought it would take like a second and a fourth or a second and a fifth, maybe like that. So, but if I'm Arizona, you know, here's the other thing, and this is a thing that I know that some teams are wrestling with, some teams I know well are wrestling with this, where if they may want to wait until the draft, because the minute in their eyes that Arizona takes Kyler Murray, the price tag for Rosen goes down. I think that's a bit of a gamble, because to me, if you like the guy, go get the guy. But I can see a situation where some teams like this may be what Arizona's after now, but I don't know that anybody's going to pay that now.
How attractive is the contract? Rosen over the next three years is going to make $6 million total over the next three years.
And this is why when Kirk Cousins was a free agent last year, the only team that made sense to me was Minnesota, because they could absorb the cap hit and they already had the team around him. When I look at the teams involved for that would be mentioned for Rosen, I think the Redskins make the most sense as a team that should go get him. And part of that is the cap hit. And, you know, I think it's what, next 3 years, it's a combined $6.2 million.
Yep.
They have Alex Smith's deal on the books for the next couple of years, and it's going to be over $20 million per on the cap hit. Now, they can cut him after next year, but there's going to be a cap hit or some dead money after that. And it's a decent chunk for a couple of years. So getting a guy like Rosen, who is a good quarterback, who depending on who you talk to, might be the best quarterback out of this class or the second best passer out of this class. So you're getting a guy with talent, but also that cheap contract on a team that needs a quarterback that will have some cap issues because of the Alex Smith contract. So to me, it just adds up to a situation that the Redskins would pursue.
John Keim, he covers the Redskins for ESPN and NFL Nation. Our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show, talking about Washington as a potential. We got to make sure we remind everybody of that potential destination.
Potential
for Josh Rosen. Yeah, there's a lot of potential on that one. Based off of the people that you've spoken to, do you believe what you just said to be the truth, that most evaluators look at Josh Rosen and say, other than Kyler Murray, if he were in this year's draft, he'd be the best quarterback prospect out there?
I think that would be the case. I think I'd want to talk to more people to see, like, get a bigger range. But, you know, of the people that I've talked to, I think that, you know, you would look at him like that. Like I said, I was talking to McLuhan yesterday, who he was in the Browns draft room last year, does a scouting service this year, and he felt in his mind that Rosen was the second best passer last year after Baker Mayfield. So I think, you know, so that I've talked to other people who would put him probably second this year. I know that everybody I've talked to would say that, but I think that would be about where I would put him. Because for part of it is he's a talented passer, and I think that he's got a year experience. And I think when you look at some of these passers in this class, Dwayne Haskins, and I'm an Ohio State guy, and so I watched him play. Everybody I talked to says that he's going to have to sit a year. So are you really able to give up a high pick for a situation where you may have to wait another year to get any return on that investment? The Redskins are in a tough – my understanding is they like him too, but, you know, I think they like parts of all these guys. So, and then you look at Daniel Jones, is he really – you know, he's not better than Rosen. And Drew Locke is an interesting one, but I know there's some flaws in his game, and there are some, holes. So I think that experience that Rosen has, at least going through an NFL season, is really, to me, valuable.
All right, leave me with this. How much do the people there hate Bryce Harper?
If you watched the game the other night.
Oh, my God, I did. That's why I'm asking. How much do they hate him?
Yeah, I think I think if I wish I had a funny line to say about it. It's just intense, and I think people understood he was probably going to leave. I think it was the team he went to. There was a deep hatred of Philadelphia in these parts. So for him to go to Philadelphia, and I think the other thing that ticked off people is that not only did he go there, but then he started sounding like this is where he always wanted to go and blah, blah, blah. And I think it just came off as a bit not, you know, insincere.
Yeah.
And so it adds up, and it was, I think it surprised everybody how intense it was. I think it was, you know, it's fun for the city to have a villain in baseball. And so, and he's now going to be the villain for the next 13 years.
All right, we're going to put your number on our favorites in case this thing happens. We'll be calling you in or around draft day. So just stand by for that one, John. All right, we appreciate the time.
I'll be waiting. All right. Thanks.
You got it, John Keim, who joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. John is the NFL Nation ESPN Redskins reporter covering that team and says, yes, Washington would be very, very interested. After the injury last night, Devin Booker's season is over. So with the offseason just around the corner, do the Suns need to do right by Booker in this summer's NBA draft? Plus, Gambo's got some news about the Coyotes you're going to want to hear next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Get an update quickly on our Twitter poll question of the day, and for that we turn it back over to Spencer Keatsman.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
Spence, what you have for us today?
All right, which was the most surprising thing from the D-backs opening 7-game road stand? 52% say allowing 42 runs in Los Angeles. Yeah, I think that would probably win. 30% say Greinke hitting 2 home runs in San Diego. 7% say Greinke's awful opening day start, and 11% say Christian Walker's 3 home runs and 6 RBIs in 7 games.
I'd vote for Greinke. I know you would too. If it were an option, I would have voted for just how well the offense played without Paul Goldschmidt and AJ Pollock. I mean, the runs that they scored, not their last game, obviously they only scored the 1 run on the 7 hits, but the runs they were able to score in the games before that, that would, to me, is one of the biggest surprises so far early on in the season.
I agree. Greinke's 2 homers, early, sure. Yeah.
But Greinke's 2 homers is what I vote for. We'll talk about the Suns in a second. The Coyotes in a must situation tonight on the road in Vegas, and they got some news and that you tweeted just a minute ago.
Just got confirmation 2 minutes ago. Darcy Kemper is going to play tonight in goal for the Yotes. He is back. He is going to play. The eye is okay. Everything checked out. We had said that he was expected to play earlier this morning. I just got confirmation that he is in, and he will be in goal tonight as they take on a Vegas team that's getting Marc-Andre Fleury back. So they're getting their top goaltender back for the game tonight. I think they're also getting some other key players back as well. And Vegas is 24-11-5 at home. So they're very, very good at home. They'll be playing hard. Colorado is taking on Winnipeg. Winnipeg is 0-5 in their last 5 games at Colorado. And in the last 2 games that they've played against the Avalanche, the Avs beat them both time by a combined score of 11-2. Now, the Avs, the Winnipeg did have a team meeting to kind of clear the air because they've been playing like garbage lately. Maybe that wakes them up and they come out like gangbusters because they kind of need, both teams kind of need the win. But the history shows that Winnipeg doesn't play well in Colorado. The home team usually wins these games, and Colorado, the last 2 times they played them, have beaten them up pretty good.
Colorado, if they get a point in either of these games, it's over. They'll advance to the playoffs, and the Coyotes will not. Just 1 point, that's all it takes in these next 2 games. It's a very simple equation. The Coyotes have to win both. The Avs have to lose both. We'll see what happens tonight, starting with those 2 games. Devin Booker, his season has been, I was going to say shut down. I know that's not the phrase you want to use, but it's just the one that kind of comes to mind. There's only 3 games left with that ankle injury he suffered last night. There's just not enough time to bring him back,
that's
so he's not going to play the rest of this season. The Suns, with the loss last night, have now clinched one of the 3 worst records in the NBA, which means they will have a 14% chance of getting the number 1 pick, which means they'll also have an 86% chance of not getting the number 1 pick, right? I mean, see, it kind of goes hand in hand.
I like looking at that. They now have an 86% chance not to get the number 1 pick.
If you look, it is crazy. If you look at, okay, right now the Suns have the 2nd worst record in the NBA, okay? 14% chance to get the number 1 pick, 13% chance to get the number 2 pick, which I look at that and I say they have a 27% chance of getting Zion Williamson or Ja Morant, which means they have a 73% chance
of not getting one of the top 2 players.
Of not getting either one of those guys.
Yes.
It's a 12.5% chance of number 3, 12% chance of number 4. Right now, where they sit,
They've got a 28% chance of getting the fifth pick in the draft and a 20% chance of getting the sixth pick.
So a 50% chance.
Yep.
Basically a 50% chance
48.
Of getting...
48.
Yeah, similar. 50. Close yeah. enough. I'm rounded it off.
50% chance that you're going to finish with a fifth or sixth pick in the draft.
Wow.
Now, if they finish number two, Stephen A. Smith on First Take this morning said the Suns need to do Devin Booker right, and they need to take Ja Morant.
The Phoenix Suns desperately need Ja Morant, and here's why. Devin Booker needs a point guard. He really, really needs a point guard. Now, understand, Max, and I'll qualify my statement by saying this. Ja Morant, to me, reminds me somewhat of a Russell Westbrook. The athleticism, the ability to get to the rim at will, to finish above the rim with his volatile dunking style, finishing at the basket, has the ability to hit the three-pointer as well, in the mid-30 percentile range, okay? All of those things are true. He also sort of reminds you of Russell Westbrook in a bad way because he's prone to turn the ball over as well. But I love his game just like I love Russell Westbrook.
If the Suns get the second pick in this draft, that is going to set us up just like we've been debating this pick for the Cardinals for months on end, right? It is going to set up, Gambo, yet another great debate. Do you go the obvious and take Ja Morant, or do you put that number two pick at the end of a hook and go fishing with it and see what you can get?
Yeah, you know, I go fishing with it to see what kind of fish are out there. Like, you know, what can I get? And I have no idea. What can I get for Ja Morant for that pick? What can I get for that pick? And if I can get something that fits into the timeline, I could get a young player with years of service or under a great contract, Then I'm willing to give the pick up. You can't continue to go with these 19-year-old kids, but, and that's the caveat. Man, it's not easy to make a good trade. It's not easy to make a good trade. There's a lot of bad trades made in the NBA, a lot of bad ones. If you can't get that, and the odds are that it'll be difficult, well, then I have to keep the pick. I have to take Ja Morant. And then I have to go get myself a veteran point guard to run the show next year to be the number one guy while Ja Morant learns to be the number two guy. Look, Ja Morant is an exceptional talent, and he's definitely a guy that if you drafted could be your future point guard, could be a franchise point guard, but he's not going to be right away. And that's the problem that we run into with the Suns all the time is like you're ready for them to start getting better and start winning games, but it's hard to add a 19-year-old point guard and say, okay, go win with a 19-year-old point guard.
Sure. Oh, that's my biggest problem with the whole thing.
Because you can't.
You're not going to.
You're
not going to.
No, because that he would have to be the backup. You'd have to get a veteran to give everybody else a chance. You'd have to go get a veteran point guard that knows how to run, and this kid could sit and learn for a year, and then they'll have some experience, and then maybe he could start getting time. But even 2 years, you might have to go with a veteran point guard.
Yeah, you just have to wonder, okay, we all know the league looks at Zion Williamson and said, that guy is a singular talent who is worth the sacrifice of adding a 19-year-old kid. Do they view Ja Morant in the same way? I don't know. Zion Williamson is this no-brainer. All right, you take him. Take him number one, and that's it. He's Zion Williamson. He's going to be great. He's going to be a cash cow. He's marketable already. He's a rock star already. Is Ja Morant that much of a certainty at number two? In the same vein that you're willing to sacrifice the couple years it's going to take for him to develop? Because it feels like around here, that's all we've done with this basketball team, is sacrifice while we wait for young guys to get better.
I know. I mean, here's the thing. You don't want to make – if the kid's going to end up being great, do you want to pass on him?
I know.
Because you're in a rush to get better?
That's the question they're going to debate. The Cardinals' decision with the number one overall pick boils down to this simple thing, Kyler Murray or Josh Rosen. If the two quarterbacks were side by side in this draft, what would the Cardinals choose? We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.